We'll continue with our introduction to Kodshim. And there was something that we said yesterday that I think needs a little bit more work. We were speaking about Achilas Kohanim and Achilas Habaylin. We said that in the case of Shlomim, we have Chazav Vishok, and that's Matnas Kuhuna. So the Bailim will have to give the Kohanim Chazav Vishok. And the rest of the Basar, minus of course the Murim that are burnt on the Mizbeach, is given to the Bailim. And they'll decide who will eat the Kodshim. You may recall that we mentioned that Chazav Vishok is eaten not only by the Kohanim, but even they can feed it to their wives. And this leads me to the discussion that I want to open up with today, because I find it very interesting, the status of Bechor. Bechor, as you know, is one of the various Karbonos, and to a large extent, it has the status of Shlomim. But yet, as opposed to Shlomim, which is Necha Lebailim, LeYisraelim, Bechor, to some extent, is like Chatas V'Yosham, which is Necha LeZichrei Kohunot. So that the meat of the Bechor, of the carbon of the Bechor, cannot be eaten by the Bailim, it has to be eaten by the Kohen. And there's a fantastic machlokas as to whether or not the status of a Bechor is equal to what we discussed earlier, namely Chazav Vishok. Chazav Vishok, in the case of Shlomim, is the gift of the Bailim to the Kohen. And the Kohen, we said, could share that gift with his wife. What about Bechor? On the one hand, Bechor is very similar to Chatas V'Yosham, in that the Basar is only eaten by the Kohen. But on the other hand, in many, many different aspects, it's Kodshim Kalim, and it has the status of Shlomim. If we're saying that because the Chaz V'Shok came from Shlomim, therefore the Kohen is allowed to share the Chaz V'Shok with his wife, and that's derived from a special limud, because the Pasuk says in Bamidbar Perek Yeches, Lecha Nesatim Ulevanecha Lebnosecha. So therefore, that which is given to the Kohen, based on this Pasuk, in the case of Shlomim, Chazav Vishok, is shareable, if you could use that word, can be shared with his wife. The Kohen can share it with his wife. As opposed to, let's say, Chatos V'Yosham, which is Necha L'Zichrei Kohuna, only Zcharim, who are Kohenim, can eat the Chatos and Osham. But in the case of Shlomim, the Kohen's Chelek is Chaz V'Shok, and there's a special Pasuk that indicates that since it's Chaz V'Shok of Shlomim, therefore the Achila does not have to be Zichrei Kohuna, it could be even a Koheness, meaning even the wife of a Kohen. What's going to be the status of a Bechor? The Bechor is such a fantastic combination, a schizophrenic of sorts, because on the one hand, the Bechor is like Chatos V'Yosham, which means that it's Necha L'Zichrei Kohuna. The Bailim get no part of the Bechor. But on the other hand, it's a carbon shlomit. Bechor, in many, many ways, is a carbon shlomit. So that's going to be a gigantic machlokes, whether or not the Achilas Kohanim, in the case of Bechor, is limited to Zichrei Kohuna, or it can expand even to include his wife, and it has the same status as Chazav Vishok of Shlomit. So that's one thing that I wanted to add to yesterday's discussion. Now I want to add something else. Korban Pesach. We know And it's a mission in Pesachim, we'll get to it in Mirz Hashem, that the Korban Pesach is only eaten limenuya, to those who before the Akrava, before the Shechita, they joined in the group, and they're part of this Chabura. And here, we have a Machlokes Rishona, which I was totally unaware of, and I'm excited about this. The Mishnah says, Eino Nechal El Limenuya. And some Rishonim say that Eino Nechal El Lemenuyov means they're enjoined, they're also to eat it if they're not amongst the Menuyim. Other Rishonim insist that they're allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach even though they're not Manui, but they don't fulfill the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. So when the Mishnah says Eino Nechal El Lemenuyov means Ein Yotzim Yedei Chovas HaPesach, Im achlo misha eino menuyah. Now here, in those Rishonim, I wonder, he says that this is a research project of Rav Perlow. Then this is not the Novominska Perlow. This is the Perlow who writes on the Rasag, on the Rav Sajigon's compilation of Tayag Mitzvahs. His name was Fischel, I think. He lived about a century ago, a little bit more, maybe. In any event, I was wondering, just thinking out loud, that if you hold that Eino Nechal El Menuyav means that they don't have a Kiyum Mitzvah HaPesach, because they're not Menuyim, then in effect, you could have a person who will eat from the Korban Pesach, although he's not fulfilling his mitzvah. He's not manui, but he's allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach. Why is that exciting to me? Because the question occurs to me annually, every Leil HaSeder, when we get to Holach Ma'anya, which is the kickoff of the Seder, we say, Kol Dichvin Yeseh V'Yechal, which I understand, let's invite the poor people. And then it says, Kol Ditzrich Yeseh V'Yifsach. So there's a whole section there which includes inviting people to the Korban Pesach. How could I invite them to eat and share with me the lamb when they weren't Menuyim? And if they were Menuyim, then they're sitting there at the table. I mean, I don't have to invite them. But maybe if the mainstay of the Seder table was the roast meat that they ate at the Korban Pesach, I mean, you have to know about Al HaSova and all that, then maybe I can invite others, even though they weren't Manui, to eat my Korban Pesach with me. Admittedly, they will not fulfill the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, of Yochlas Abbas of Alay Lazek, because they weren't Manui, but at least it's no worse than, you know, eating a steak meal. So I'm eating steak, I can invite you to eat steak. You don't have to be Manui to eat my steak. My asado, right? So the Korban Pesach now becomes, for that person who's not manui, no worse than a piece of steak. He's allowed to eat it. He has a rishus. And I'm inviting him to join me because according to the other Rishonim, then I'm stuck because he's not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach if he's not manui. Now, maybe I could go even a step further, according to those Rishonim who say that an Eino Manui is allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach, he just doesn't fulfill his mitzvah of Yochlas HaBasar. Maybe it means that he has no chova, no obligation to eat the meat, but he does get a Kiyum HaMitzvah. Why would I say such a thing? Because otherwise, we have a problem of Nosar, meaning, Why would I want to invite someone who's not manui to eat from the Korban Pesach? Because let's say I have a large lamb and I don't have enough people to eat the lamb. I'm going to be in violation of the Isur Nosar. And it's very famous in the name of the Beis HaLevi that he said that even after Chatzos, according to Rabbi Loz Ben Azaria, when you don't have a mitzvah Korban Pesach, but you still are able to get a kium of achila such that it's no worse than eating any kachim, and it prevents the bosser from becoming nosar. Okay. Now we start with something a little bit different, and we're talking now about chazav v'shok of shlomim, and we're going to extend that to include a karban toda, and what's called the isle nazir. Now, in these cases of shlamim, toda, and el nazir, then we give the chaz of ashok to the kohen. In the cases of asham, of chatos and asham, once again, we give the kohanim their due. Which kohanim can I just decide arbitrarily? You know, I have a relative who's a kohen. You know, he's up in the north. Let's invite him in to eat the basar of the kodesh. Nay, he's got to be one of the beis av, meaning that there were 24 mishmaros of kohanim, and each mishmar was divided into its different batei avos, and each beis av got 1 week of service in the mikdash. Again, we're going to go through the details at some other occasion, Mirtz Hashem Belina. So if you're one of the beis av, and this is your mishmeres, then you have rights to eat the basar. If you're not one of the members of this Anshe Beis Av, then you don't have rights to eat the karma. So the basar's mischalik l'konami Beis Av shall yom hakrovas hakarma. Which is interesting, in the case of Shlomim, the karma was brought on a Sunday, but it could be eaten on a Monday. But nevertheless, we have to see who was the Beis Av on that Sunday, the Yom HaKrova. And since they were Ruim L'Achila as members of the Beis Av on the Yom HaKrova, therefore, they get the Basar to eat. What about the case of a Bechor? As I said before, the Bechor is a little bit tricky because on the one hand, it's got a status of Shlomim, which means that it's up to the Bailim to choose anyone they want to give the Basar to. And they can choose, theoretically, a Kohen who's not one of the Anshei Mishmar, he's not in the Beis Av. Or on the other hand, do we subsume Bechor under the category of Chatos V'Yosham? As we saw before, it's only Nechal Zichrei Kohuna. And then it's the Anshei Mishmar, they have exclusive rights to eat the Basar of Bechor. So that's also going to be an issue that hinges on this very ambiguous status of a Bechor. Now, what happens in the case where a Kohen, he brings his own karbon? Does he have rights to eat the Basar? Or do we say that he has to give those rights, that basar, over to the other kohanim who are in the Anshei Mishmar? He's a member of the Anshei Mishmar. He has to bring a karbon. And the Gemara derives from a pasuk. At the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, it says, Ish es kadoshav lo yeh. When he brings his kodshim, lo yeh, it's his. And this is addressing the case of a kohen. Okay, so Don, that's good news. If you're a Kohen, it's good news that you'll get the basar if you bring your... Make sure to bring it on a day when you're one of the Anshei Mishmar. Okay. Now we want to talk about Achilas HaKohen.
From your lips, Rabbi.
So, Ben, we're on page Yudalid, because I know you like me to announce the page. And there's a mitzvah... What?
I said thank you very much.
Yeah, you doubt. And this is where we're starting today with Achilas Kohanim on the right side. He says that the pasuk says in Shmos, V'ochlu osam asher kupar bohem. And Chazal Darshan, interpreting this pasuk, Kohanim ochlu mubailim miskapri. We're going to get to that very shortly in Masechta Pesachim. So that the complete kapara is clinched with the Achilas HaKohanim. And the Achilas HaKohanim, so far as it's part of the process of Kapara, is a mitzvah of the Torah. So when it says V'ochlu Osam, it is imposing a chiv on the Kohanim. It's not enough that the Kohanim got their hands dirty with the dam, and they did the avodos, they have to now sit down and eat the basar, and we'll see exactly how they sit down, like kings, and that's a mitzvah which clinches the kapara. I wouldn't say it clinches the kapara, I don't like to use that word, it enhances the kapara, because the kapara is clinched by the zrikas hadam, but nevertheless, it's an additional element to the kapara. Rav Soloveitchik always uses this as an example of the Hashkofas HaTorah, which is antithetical to the Hellenists, to the Greek philosophers. The Greek philosophers felt that eating is animalistic. There's no way of categorizing eating as anything more than a Maisa Behema. So we too need to do it because we're also animals. And it was antithetical to them to think of a mitzvah act of achila. But the Torah is full of achila as a mitzvah act. And here is a prime example in the Taryag of the achila sakod. Now again, let's talk about chatas v'yosham, which the basar is nechal l'zichrei kuhuno, v'yochlo osam asher kupar b'hem. However, it doesn't mean, he says, that achila sakod in ma'akeves b'kaporas ha'baylu. It's not absolutely critical. Shari mishas zrika kvar nisratzu ha'baylim el mitzvah lehem lechol u'baylim is kapar b'zeh. In other words, it's tosefes kapara when the kohanim eat the basar. In the footnote here, Reish Samach Aleph, he quotes Tosfos in Psachim, who says in one answer, he gives many answers, but he says that kol zman shabasar kayim eino miskaprim ela ad li'achar achilas habasar. Now that's a very radical shita in one opinion in Tosfos here in Psachim, that if the basar is available, then it must be eaten by the kohanim in order for the karbon to be a complete karbon. But it's against the Rambam, it's against the other answers in Tosfos. But you should know that such a shita exists. Now, how do they eat the basar? Number one, the kohanim have to eat a minimum of a kezias. We have a principle called ein achila pachas mikezias, and the mitzvah is a maisa achila. However, if let's say the meat was divided up in such a way that there's leftover meat that's less than a kezias, there's still a mitzvah to eat the basar, but it will not be a fulfillment of achila, but rather it will be avoiding the isur nosar, because we're not allowed to leave any of the basar left over without achila. Now we have a machlokas rishonim im kavodah she'ochlim es hachulin michutz la'zor. Okay. So what happens now? Haya basar karban achilu muetis v'enam aspekes l'sviya ochlin ima basar chulin. He's going to combine achilas chulin together with the achilas hakarban in order to get the shear of achila. This is called heter mitzarif lehisa. I don't mean that literally, but it's very similar. The halach of basar kodshim is you have to eat kidei svir, which we said before is a kezias. Now he's left with basar, but it's less than a kezias. He can make that achila into an achila of kidei svir by adding chulin, regular meat. And now we have machlokas rishonim. Where does he eat the chulin? We don't eat chulin in the Azara. And therefore, it's going to mean that the basar kodshim of the chatas v'asham, which is mu'etes, that has to be eaten in the Azara. And the rest of the meat to be mashlim, to complete the shear of kidei svir, is going to be eaten outside the Azara, and that's chulin, because we can't bring the chulin into the Azara. This is Rashi in Masechta Temura. However, other Rishonim, the Shittim Gubetzes, and it seems from Tosis, they hold Ein Isur Lahachnis Chulim LaZara Kevan Shenichnosim BeBigdei Chulin LaZara VeOchlin Es HaChulin BeToch HaZara. I think what he's saying, again, he doesn't spell it out, is that since he's eating the chulin inside the azara for the purpose of facilitating the eating of the basar hakarman, the chulin itself now takes on a whole different complexion. You're allowed to eat it in the azara. It's a pel of a chidus, chulin ba'azara. I don't know. Netzarchim gadol. How does the chulin? I mean, again, it's not hegdesh. But as far as Azara is concerned, I guess he's saying that it depends on the Mais Achila. Now, it's the Iser of Chulin Bazara means you're eating an Achilas Chulin, and that you can't eat in the Azara. But if I'm eating an Achilas Kodshim, and the Chulin is now part of that same Achila, it's integrated into one Achila, that's not a violation of Achilas Chulin Bazara. Now, he has here a strange sheet of the Ra'ah in Bedek Abayis. Again, the Rashba rejects, and everybody else does as well, that when the Kohanim eat the basar, they have to put salt on the basar. I mean, we don't have any sauce for that whatsoever. I mean, in Karbonos, it says, Haloch al kol karbonecha tochal melach. But this is not a karbon. I mean, there's a mitzvah of achilas ha-basar. But perhaps we can put this sheet of the Ra'ah together with the sheet that we mentioned earlier, that if the basar is available for achila, then the kapara is clinched through the achilas habasar. So if that be the case, then achilas habasar, baile mechaprim, is not a separate independent mitzvah of achila, but rather it's part of the hakrava itself. And therefore, if it's part of the hakrava, then it needs melach. But again, you have to add something. Just one second. Am I assuming that you need bigdei kahuna? Yeah, I think it needs Bigdei Kahuna. If it needs Bigdei Kahuna, if I'm right about that premise, I think I'm right, then it makes sense that I know what he's saying. What he's saying is not that the Achilas HaBasar is part of the Avodas HaKarbon, and that gives it a status of karbonos. What he's saying is that the chal shem karbon is chal in the basar, not only the basar that's niktar al gabi mizbeach, but even the basar that's nechal lekohanim, insofar as that's a complete, as it completes the process of kapara, it becomes a heftz of a karbon. And a heftz of the karbon, once it's eaten, requires melach. So I wouldn't say, let's say he leaves out the melach, I wouldn't say that he has forfeited his kiyum mitzvah of v'yachlu osam. The kohen would still be mekayim the mitzvah. He would forfeit the mitzvah in the heftz of shal karbon, that the karbon needs melach. But again, it's a way out shita, and all the rishonim reject. There's no din of melach. I would think if he wants to put melech on, I think he's allowed to, but he's not required to. But here's a beautiful halacha. Okay, this is called lemashcha. What is lemashcha? First of all, where is lemashcha? So this is in Bamidbar, in Parsha Shlach, it says, l'kol kodshei b'nei Yisrael, l'chanes atim lemashcha, levanecha, l'chak olam. What does lemashcha mean? The Gemara tells us that lemashcha means ligdula. And this pasuk lemashcha is talking about the eating of the basar karmon al yidei hakohen. And the kohenim have a mitzvah to eat the karmon. They have to eat it lemashcha, which means ligdula. Kiderech shamalochim ochlim. The Netziv Mivalosha was asked why we have a minhag to wear a kittel on the night of the Seder. At Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's one of Racha poo-pooed the question. He says, Kedesh Shatinos Yishalim, it's only for Shina. But the Netziv took it very seriously that the minhag of wearing a kittel is based on this halach of Lemoshcha. It's a Zechel Amigdash. Like just like we, you know, we put the Zroah on the table, whatever we put on, Zechel Amigdash, the Afikomen. We also have another Zechel HaMikdash, and that's the white begadim, because the Netziv understands that when the Kohanim ate the Basar Karmon, they had special begadim, which are called Lemoshka begadim. Apparently they were white, I don't know. Lefichach Rashoim HaKohanim L'shanos Bachilos Elochlam Tzluyim O'shlukim O'vasholim HaKol Kemoshe Tovlo V'nene Yoser Rashaim Lesel of Tavlinin Af Minachul. So he says that this halacha of Lemoshcha is not only a chova, but it's also a matir. It allows the Kohanim to change the achila from what normally would have been the achila. For example, let's say the meat of the karva was tsolui. They can decide they don't want to eat it roasted, they want to eat it cooked or overcooked, whatever they like. And they can add spices. Normally in Kodshim, we don't add tavlinin. But here, because it's halach of lemoshcha, he should prepare it and eat it the best way from his perspective. Very subjective. You know, no two kohanim are going to exactly appreciate the same tavlinin, the same spices. Okay. So I'm beginning to have second thoughts about what I told you before, that the Kohanim are wearing Big Day Kahuna. Because if there's halacha lemoshcha, maybe they don't have to wear Big Day Kahuna. Let's see. Od kosum yishonim she'im ha-kohen shori b'tzar gadol eino ochel ben ha-kodshim she'in zeder kedula kederech sh'amalochim ochlim. So what are we talking about? Are we talking about physical pain? He's ill. Okay, so there are many Rishonim who reject this, apparently. They hold that, no, the mashka means the way you eat. It doesn't matter whether you're in a state of you know, good health or you're suffering. You ate it the way it's supposed to be eaten. Betzuras achila. Okay. Kosri shonim shemishum din lemoshcha yesh lechol sabosa bi yeshiva velo ba'amida. What I think he means is that if you're standing and eating, that's not the mechubetik way. You know, if you're in a quick food takeout joint, you know, you stand and you eat your hamburger, but the real way of eating a mechubetik meal, a significant meal, is bi yeshiva. And since it's halach lemoshcha, he has to eat it be yeshiva. Okay. So we're going to stop here as far as our introduction is concerned. And this is a fascinating topic, this achilas habasar. And now we're going to continue with our study of the Sugi Rabbi Shmuel on Daf Nun Tesam and Aleph. So Rabbi Yishmael says that if you have a mechusa kapara, and he wasn't able to bring his kapara, his karbon, until after they had already brought the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, we're going to allow him to do so, because until he brings his karbon, this mechusa kapara, he's not considered tahor. There's still vestiges of his tumah, and he won't be able to eat kodshim. So to facilitate, to allow him to eat kodshim, we're going to bring his karbon kapara, which, let's say, in the case of Mitzora, he's got a chatos, an asham, an ola, I mean, almost the whole kit and caboodle that he has to bring as part of his taras Mitzora. And we're going to override the Isra Shlama for the sake of allowing him to eat kodshim by bringing his karbanos, even though it's after the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. And the Gemara is all up in arms about this, because high essay va high essay. Why would the essay of Achilus Kodshim override the essay of Ashlama? And the Gemara says, Bishlam, according to the Chachamim, the Tanakhama, that we understand, because then we're talking about the 14th of Nisan, and we want to facilitate his Achilas HaPesach, which we said was a mitzvah seisheish bo kares, and that's weighty enough to override Hashlama, and we're going to allow the Mitzora to bring his Chatos, Asham, Ola, whatever he has to bring as part of his Tara Pras, in order to allow him to eat the Karban Pesach, which is a mitzvah seisheish bo kares. And the Gemara seems to be approaching this from a perspective of Esei Docha Losas, that Hashlom is like a Losas, that's a Lava B'machal Esei, and the Esei of Korban Pesach, which is a Yeshbo Kares, is now going to override the Losas, the Yisra Esei of Hashlom in the case of Korban Pesach, after the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. So Tos asks the obvious Kasha here. We have a principle that Esei Dochalosa only applies be'idna when there's a simultaneity between the Kiyum Esei and the Losa, the violation of the Losa. So here there's no simultaneity, because he's not ready to eat the Karban Pesach. He's got to first bring his Karban Tara, his Asham, and his Ola, and his Chatos, whatever the Mitzor has to bring. The Mitzvah Sase of Achilus Kodshim is going to come later on, when he eats the Korban Pesach. So we mentioned yesterday that this is a different kind of a case. We're not dealing with a typical essay docha losas, but rather we're dealing with two essays, two mitzvahs assay. And therefore we don't need be'idna. So if you have an essay that's chamur, it's docha an essay akal, bechol inyan, even if it's not be'idna. Afilu lo makayim ha'essay ha'chamur be'idna deka'ava essay akal. So we don't need simultaneity, says the Rian Tosvis, in a case where we're dealing with essay de chamur being docha essay de kal. Those are the key words I think we should underline. Aval essay de chamur dochi essay de kal. And then we drop the requirement of be'idna of simultaneity. So for the sake of the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, we will forfeit the essay of Hashlama, even though the essay of Pesach is going to come at some later point. That's the read. The Riva, who was analyzing the same exact question, he says that Kano Isu Nase Bakrovas Karbonos Kapor Shalo. He says that the Hetel HaKavis Karbonos HaKapor Shalo Enol Eloli Acha Shekvar Hekrivu Olav Karbon Pesach. The Riva says we need Be'idna. How can we set up Be'idna? He says that the status of the Karbon Pesach, which they already brought on his behalf, is now dependent upon the Karbonos of Kapora. Kapora here means Tara, right? So there is simultaneity here. Why? Because he violates the Isur Ashlama at the moment that he brings his Karbon Tara. And at that moment, his Karbon Pesach becomes kosher. And that's enough for Be'idna. Ela Karbon Pesach yeh kosher rak im yuchal lahakriv es karbonosov v'lechol es ha-pesach b'layla. V'im lo yuchal lakrivar v'lechol ha-pesach nimtza sh'ha-pesach ha-yaposul l'fi sh'lo ha-yoroi l'achila nimtza sh'v'shosh ha-makriva es karbonosov miskayim ha-esei shol pesach. Now, I'm thinking that maybe I didn't understand this correctly yesterday. That's why I want to revisit it. Demairi she, and here there's a textual error. I think it should say she shachtu. Let me just see. Do you have a little letter there? I think it says demairi she shachtu. I think that's what it should say. I don't know. I don't find it now on the page. Oh, here it is. Sheshachtu. Okay, good. I found it. It's all the way on the bottom. I thought it was on the top of the page. Sheshachtu Pesach Olav Kodim Sheyidchu Ha'esei Dehashlama. Okay, fine. The shochtin v'zorkin al tful yom mechusa kapor l'kul yama afilu lo yochal l'basof hol b'yodu tolu u'potu v'pesach sheni afilu lo ochal hilkoch. Oh, this is what we want to get to. Hilkoch kishemakriv kaparoso mekayim esei de pesach. So I think what the Riva is saying, I didn't chap this yesterday, is that it's be'idna because of the essay of the Pesach itself. We're not talking about the achila, but rather the carbon per se. The carbon per se becomes kosher at the very moment that he brings his kapara, because now he became royal achila. So at that moment, when he brings his kapara, at that moment, he's machshir the Korban Pesach, and he makes the hakrava, the Korban Pesach, into a mitzvah. He upgrades it into a mitzvah. Because the status of the hakrava is up in the air. It's suspended until we find out if he's royal achila. When do we find out, and how do we establish that he's royal achila? When he brings his karbonos of kapara. Okay. Now, let's add to our discussion a kasha of the Tosfos at the beginning of Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara establishes at the beginning of Masechta Shabbos a principle which is called Ein Adam Chote Bishvil Sheyizke Chavero. So, for example, Reuven puts dough into the oven on Shabbos. Is Shimon allowed to violate the Iser Kal of Radias HaPas, to take the pas out before it bakes, in order to save Reuven from violating the Chiyu and incurring a Chiyu for Melechas HaFiyu? The final maskon of the Gemara is Ein Omrim Liadam Chate Bishvil Sheyizke Chavero. Frektosvis, you have a mitzora, and he's bringing his kapara after the tomachel ben arbayim. That's wonderful. He needs that mitzvah. He wants to eat the kodshim. But the kohanim are the ones who are doing the avoda. How can we tell the kohanim to do the avoda of the karban kapara after the tomachel shel ben arbayim, and to violate the Iser Lav, or call it Lav Abomachal Essay, on behalf of the Mitzora? It's very nice, you know, you want to be a good Samaritan, and you want to care very nicely and sensitively for the next one, in this case the Mitzora, and give him the option of, and the opportunity of eating his Kodshim, wonderful. But that's not going to allow the Kohanim themselves to violate the Iser Lav. I don't violate a law for you, and you don't violate a law for me. So that's the Kash of Tosfos in Masechta Shabbos, on the Sugya of Ein Omrim Liodom, Chatei Bishvil Sheyizke Chavero. Good. So now, we have a Teretz of Tosfos. Tosfos says that the only time we apply this principle of Ein Adam Chote Bishvil Sheyizke Chavero is for a Chote who was a Poshea. There was an element of negligence. But here, Kan Lo Pasha. So this Yankel Beryl called the Mitzora tried very hard to bring his carbon at the earliest possible time, but he couldn't bring it before the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. If there's no element of negligence of Pshia, then Omrim Li Adam Chatei Bishvil Sheyizke Chaver Shelo Pasha. Which is a pretty radical change in the simple understanding, straightforward understanding of the Sugya in Shabbos. Now, he has another answer. And he says there's something called a Mitzvah Shel Rabin. Is be mitzvah shel rabim omrim li acher laval isa kadeshi kaim ze ha mitzvah. Now, what's the mitzvah shel rabim here? Keep in mind, the Gemara is applying the principle according to Tanna Kamma in the case of Korban Pesach. I understand that could be a mitzvah shel rabim, because the mitzvah of Korban Pesach is incumbent upon everyone. Now again, this mitzora has his own personal chovas yachid to eat the Korban Pesach, correct? But the mitzvah of Korban Pesach per se is a mitzvah shel rabim. Yeah, I would say that, you know, the Tosfos could have given the answer that it's a mitzvah sheish bo karetz. I don't know why he asked the quote, the mitzvah sheish bo rab. Now, what about Rabbi Yishmael? Rabbi Yishmael is saying that he has a mitzvah achilas kodshim. Why is that a mitzvah shel rab? I don't know. Yeah, the Gemara is actually going to establish that according to Rabbi Shmuel, he never would allow violating Ashlama, excuse me, for the sake of Achilas Kodshim. And the whole sugi that we're going to learn now is to see in what scenario, in what particular case, did Rabbi Shmuel allow bringing the Karbon after the Tomid Shel Ben Arbayim. So the only halacha of violating Hashlama for the sake of someone else is only the Tanakam in the case of Korban Pesach. That's a mitzvah shel Rabim, and for the sake of the mitzvah shel Rabim. But again, I still have my question why he doesn't mention mitzvah saseh sheish bakaris, why he has to introduce Rabim. Okay, now he quotes the Ramban. The Ramban says that this is not chatei bishvil chavercha. Why? Because hakohanim shluchim shel ha-yisraelim hem. The kohanim are responsible for the Israelim. They are the agents up front on behalf of the Israelim. The kevin shel Yisrael ein lo efsharos l'kayim bi'atzmo mechuyev hakohen lasod zeh bishvilo. Wow. This is a pretty radical finish of the Ramban. The Ramban says that if I have a specific responsibility, I mean, in general, I have a responsibility towards your sin and you towards mine. That's Arvus. But in the case of Korban Pesach, or for that matter, Kodshim, there's a special responsibility incumbent upon the Kohanim. And the reason for that is because Kohanim Shlucha Didanhem, they are our Shluchim. Meaning the Israel has a shliach in that in the form of the Kohen who's doing the avodah on his behalf. And if that be the case, the Kohen now has that element of responsibility. It's not just, well, a general responsibility, I have to love every Jew, I have to l'recha kamocha, and therefore I'm going to violate an avera for your sake. That we say no. But in the case of the Kohenim, they are standing here as the front runners on behalf of the Israel who wants to eat his karman. So they are now mutually responsible to facilitate the achilas hakarman al yidei Yisrael. They are the shluchim of the Israel. So we have three different answers to the question why the Kohanim will do this avera of violating Hashlama for the sake of Yenim of another Jew, which is a violation of the principle of Ein Adam Chote. We have the first answer of Tosfos that there was no Pshia on the part of the Israel. Second answer, that this is a mitzvah of Korban Pesach, which is a separate status of a mitzvah derabim. And for that, we will be chote on behalf of someone else's Korban Pesach. And finally, the last answer of the Ramban, that the Kohanim are actually responsible, personally responsible for the Yisrael because of Kohanim Shluchi Dida. Now Tosus asks another kasha. This Tosus that I'm about to present to you is in Masechta Menachos. Tosus wants to know, what's the deal in a case where a karma was brought after the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim? Obviously, that's a no-no, and it's a violation of the Lav Habo Mechalese of Olea Hashlem is called a Karbonos Kula. But what's the status of the korban? We have, for example, a korban agazul. If you steal an animal and bring it as a korban, the korban is pasul because of the avera inherent in the korban. How do we view the case of a korban that was brought after the tamid shel bein arbayim? Is the korban pasul because there's an inherent avera here in violating the isra, the lav habo mechalese of hashlama? Or do we say no? That l'chatchila, if all things were ideal, we would have brought this korban before the tamid. But if we bring it after the tamid, then the evidence kosher. Says Tosfos, from this sugya that we're learning, we're going to prove that the violation of the isur of hashlama does not undermine the kashrus hakarma. How so? How does Tosfos know it's only l'chatchila that you're not allowed to bring this korban after the Talmud, she'im hu ma'akev, if it would be completely indispensable and critical that it undermines the karban, Karma Shakarov Akhara Tomit Shobena by Nifsal. If that would be the case, is Ketzad Mechusa Kippurim Ze Makaris Karnosach HaTomit. The whole purpose of bringing this karmon, according to Rabbi Shmuel, of Kapara after the Tomid is to allow this Mitzorah to eat from Kodshim. But wait a second. You brought it after the Tomid Shal Ben Arbayim. It's not even a carbon kosher. How are you going to allow yourself to eat from the Kodshim when the carbon is not kosher? Achein Das Tosus Varitva Shakarbon Posel Minat Torah. What we said is Tosus Menaches, but Tosus in Horios of all places, and the Ritva in Yuma, I mean, the Bekiyas here is pretty impressive, they both disagree and they say that if a carbon is brought after the Tomit Shel Ben Arbayim, it's Posel Minat Torah. So how do we deflect the Raya of Tosus? I mean, the whole purpose here of bringing the carbon Tara is to allow the carbon to be matir, to be matir the Mitzorah, and then to allow him to eat kachim. But now you're telling me if the carbon is brought after the Tumid, it's possible. So what have you gained over here? The whole point of Rabbi Shmuel's exercise is to allow the Mitzorah now to eat kachim by virtue of the carbon kosher that's being brought after the Talmud. But now you tell me that a carbon after the Talmud is possible. So on this we have a Mishnah Lamelech at the beginning of Hilchas Tmidim Umusafim. And he writes that Tosus' proof from Asugi is not a proof. Why? Yesh Lomar. He says, Rak b'mokom sheyesh iser hakrov aliyach ha-Talmud husha carbon possible. Aval im kishen nidchasa isur machmas esse chamur is gam psul lo yir. Fantastic. Ah. Rabose, did you hear this? This is beautiful. What are we saying here? We're saying that the essay of Tara, let's say we'll go to the Tanakam for the sake of eating the Korban Pesach, outweighs the essay of Hashlava. So in this toss-up, let's put Korban Pesach up on top because it's a Chiyuv Kares. It's an essay Chamur, and it overrides the essay of Hashlava. Is therefore, the Korban is going to be kosher, because what undermines the kashus of the Korban? That's the violation of the Isra Hashlama. But he didn't violate the Isra Hashlama, because the essay HaChamur of Korban Pesach trumps the essay of Hashlama. So there's no essay of Hashlama here. And therefore, it's not going to pass the Korban. But in a case where he violates this Isra deliberately and brings a Korban after the Tomit Shel Ben Arbayim, the Korban is possible. That's the Shita of Tosus in Horios and the Ritva in Yuma, as explained by the Mishnah Lama. Now, the Gemara attacks Rabbi Shmuel and says, "My ulme dahayase mehayase." So basically, you have what we call a teku. We have two, what's it called? Not a stalemate. Anyway, we don't know which essay is greater than which essay. So why does the Gemara assume that we should not allow the Mitzorah to bring his karmon for the essay of Kodshim, because it'll override the essay of Hashlam? And the Gemara says, no, we can't override the essay of Hashlama. Why? Because this is an essay and this is an essay. But I don't get it. You've taken a position here in favor of the essay of Hashlama. Why don't we take a coin and flip it and see if it heads I win and tails you lose, right, kind of thing. So apparently, the Gemara of High Essay Mehayase is based on a principle called Sheviyaltase. That if you don't know what to do, and you have a tug of war pulling you in two different directions, do nothing. And where do we find such a thing of Sheviyaltase? For example, in the case of Gili Arayis, for a woman who's Karka Olam, so we don't know whether Gili Arayis is more Chomer than V'chai Bohem or not, so we say Sheviyaltase. She has to be passive. So therefore, the Gemara thinks that the essay of Hashlama wins out over here simply because you have to be passive. You can't actively bring a karbon for the sake of the zav of the mitzvah and actively override the Isra Hashlama, because high essay of high essay. Omer Avin, Omer Av Chizda, Hocha Bechatas, Ofas Kinan, She'en Lom Izbech El Adama. So I'm assuming everyone has the place here. We're about 15 lines up before the end of the Amud here in the Tesam and Aleph. And Rav Chizda says, Rabbi Shmuel is talking about a case of a Chatas Ha'Oph, which means that the Mitzora has to bring a Chatas in order to be Gmar Kapor, meaning to be Matar himself. But if he's a poor fellow, what we call a mitzora ani, then he brings a chatas ha'of. He doesn't even bring a chatas behema. So what? And the answer is, the of has no aktor al gabi mizbeah. All you need is shchita and zrika. But there's nothing for the mizbeah. We're not giving the mizbeah anything, not a morsel of a chatas ha'of, in which case there's no violation of hashlama. When is there a violation of hashlama? If I'm makriv on the mizbeach something after the tamid shel ben arbayim. But here, in the case of chatas ha'of, I'm not being makriv anything on the mizbeach, and yet that will achieve our goal, and the mitzora now has brought his kapara, and he can eat kodesh. Now, how do we know that the Mitzor is allowed to eat Kodshim once he brings his Karbon Chatas? And the truth is that the Mitzor also has to bring a Karbon Asham. So maybe Chatas itself is not enough to allow him to eat Kodshim, because his Tara process has to be effectuated after he brings an asha. So Rashi intimates this question, Dibra Maskil Hacha, which is about 15-20 lines up from the top, and he says, just one second. Okay, I'm not finding it now. But Rashi says that we learn this from Yoledes. A Yoledes brings a chatos and an ola, and the Torah says that she can now eat kudshin. We're going to equate Yoledes and Mitzora, and even though Mitzora needs an additional carbon, an osham, which Anisha doesn't bring a Yoledes, nevertheless that osham is not ma'akev, it's not absolutely critical in allowing the Mitzora to eat Kodshim. So he's allowed to eat Kodshim once he brings a Chatos and an Ola. So the Gemara later on is going to talk about the Ola Karbon. What happened to the Ola? So let's just summarize Ravina. Ravina is saying that the Isra Vashlama only applies to a Dovra Nikdar Al Gabi Mizbeach. And in the case of Chatos Ha'of, which could clinch his Tara, it's not niktar al gabi mizbeach. But again, there is shchita and zrika in the case of chatas ha'of, but the shchita and zrika unto themselves are not included in the isur of hashlama after the tamid shel bein arbayim. So in the case of chatas ha'of for the mitzora, we're going to just implement the shchita and the zrika after the tamid shel bein arbayim, and there's no violation whatsoever. Again, midirei chachamim, we're not going to allow shchita and zrika after the carbon tamid. We're going to have a gzera that if we allow him to do the shchita and zrika, he might even come to do the haktara and violate the iser of hashlam. So Rabbi Shmuel is only going to be matir a mechusa kapara for the sake of achilus kodshim la'erev. And last but not least, this Tosfos Menachos on Daf Mem Tes, that the Tanakama was not matir hakrova after the Tamid, with the exception of Erev Pesach. So we'll try to figure out that Shita Mirtz Hashem tomorrow.